Hello, all of you out there in Radio Land. This is KPTZ Port Townsend 91.9 FM. And for our virtual listeners, we hope your computer is locked onto our website, kptz.org. Our website's more than a way to listen to today's show. For example, you can find the biographies of all of our hosts and DJs. You can look up calendar listings to see what's happening around town. You can even sample some of our earlier shows. In fact, much of the original programming on KPTZ is currently available as a podcast. You know, double your listening pleasure. Listen to today's show as well as some earlier ones. I'm Marianne McNellis. This show is called Our Town. Have you ever wondered who the people are that you see every day around the area? Who were all of those people at the home show at Blue Heron School? If even a few of them are really planning on home improvements, the construction trades here are going to be totally overwhelmed. On another subject, don't you wonder who votes in the leaders' special section on the best of Jefferson County? I was very puzzled when it came to the section about the best laundromat. Mom's laundromat was number one, and Carol's laundromat was number two. Now, everyone who lives here knows that Mom's and Carol's are actually the same place. The sign on the top of the building says Carol's, but the sign on the front door says Mom's. I asked Polly about it. She's worked there for years and was even a guest on Our Town a while back. Anyway, she just chuckled and said, "I guess that means we're doubly good. Congratulations, Mom and Carol." Jefferson County is full of all sorts of fascinating characters. This show, Our Town, tries to profile a few of the singular personalities who live here, but the show's only a half hour long, which is definitely not long enough to do justice to some of our fellow citizens. So consider it a synopsis. We try to get our guests to talk about their lives, their dreams, how they ended up on the western edge of the continent, able to look across the Strait of Juan de Fuca right at Vancouver Island, Canada. Over time, we'll be talking with firefighters and foodies, bus drivers and baristas, the lawyers and the ladies who lunch. We try to find out what makes them tick and what they think about living in beautiful Jefferson County amid the deer, the otter, and even the magnificent soaring eagles. Today, my guest is Lance Bailey, who is the Development Services Director for the City of Port Townsend. His previous title was Planning Director, but the new title is broader, covering more responsibilities. Lance was a guest on this show about 2 years ago, but so much has been happening around here in terms of building that it's time to hear what's going on behind the scenes. So welcome to the show, Lance.
Well, thank you very much. It's nice to be here.
I always like to give our listeners a little bit of background about the people that they're listening to. So with your gentle accent, you perhaps are not a native of Jefferson County.
That is correct. I'm originally from North Carolina, where I grew up, and came out here to the West Coast in 1990 and have been here ever since.
Okay. Well, you told me earlier that when you were growing up, you actually went for a while to an all-male prep school.
I did.
And was that a good experience, a traumatic experience? What would you say generally?
You know, it was a good experience. I had a great education. It's always interesting to watch the movie Dead Poets Society because there's a lot of truth in the way those schools run. Not necessarily that some of the more dramatic aspect of it, but it was a good experience. And it was a school up in Pennsylvania called the Hill School.
Okay. And where'd you do your undergraduate work?
I went to the University of North Carolina in Chapel Hill, got a degree in economics.
And what was your plan with that degree?
Well, at the time, I was working in the restaurant business and was managing restaurants and thought that that's what I wanted to do and sort of have that dream of opening up my own place. Kind of got burned out on that and decided to go back to graduate school, which is what brought me out here to the West Coast. I went to the University of Oregon in Eugene and studied urban and regional planning, and here I am today as Development Services Director for the City of Port Townsend.
Urban and regional planning is something I wouldn't have thought of as a career path. What got you interested in it?
When I was in undergrad, I didn't even really know of it as a profession. In fact, I was living in Chapel Hill, and there were some development issues that were going on related to the university. I started to see there's a whole profession behind this process and these things that go on in community development and how cities grow and the community dialogue. And once I became aware of that, I realized that that was an interest of mine. It kind of brings a lot of disciplines together. And I was right in thinking that it's the type of profession that you're always learning. You're always learning something new, and there's always new challenges presented to you. It has been that and more.
And I guess the University of Oregon had a well-established school.
They did. Oregon is one of the first state to adopt state land use planning, and even prior to that had done coastal management. Mm. In fact, the state of Oregon had declared all of its beaches to be public. I believe they were the first state to
really?
Do that.
That's and interesting. So that was, that's great.
That was an interest of mine. I spent a lot of time on the coast in North Carolina. And now I'm on the coast of the West Coast,
yes,
so yes.
Exactly. When you first got your degree there, did you go immediately into a planning type job?
Right after graduate school, I went into the Peace Corps. I was in Chile for a little more than 2.5 years, actually doing planning work. It was a challenging experience. I mean, everything they say about the Peace Corps is kind of true. I enjoyed it. I would do it again. And then I came back and decided to stay in the Northwest. Initially was working down in Southern Oregon, and mm-hmm. I was living in the town of Ashland, which reminds me a lot of Port Townsend, actually.
Did you end up in Port Townsend immediately after Ashland, or were there stops in between?
Oh, I made a number of stops. I lived in Portland for about 10 years, and then I moved out to Eastern Oregon to Wallowa County, which is in the northeast corner of Oregon. From there, I worked for the city of Ellensburg and came from Ellensburg to here, so I'm sort of west to east to central to west.
Been around.
Yes.
So how long have you been now in your position in Port Townsend?
My 4-year anniversary was actually this past Saturday, so March 2nd.
So you're...
4 years.
Your title is a big one, but it's sort of an amorphous title. What does your department actually do? What do you handle?
Well, the development services is broken into two main functions. We have a building division and planning division. We both issue review building permits for actual building projects, and we do land use permits of all types. The planning department also does our long-range plans, which include the comprehensive plan, our shoreline management plan, any development regulation updates. So there's a current planning, long-range planning component to that. A lot of what people interact with the planning department, probably more associated with long-range, like the sub-area plan that we're currently working with. So a lot of the meetings that we would have at City Council are involving more of the long-range activities of the department.
But you're also doing permits for single-family homes.
Oh, yes.
Or probably even remodeling or whatever.
All kinds of permits for the things that you mentioned, and shoreline permits and remodels. Yeah, it kind of covers the gamut.
I think anyone who lives here can look around and realize there's a lot of construction going on. There was the big recession. Prior to the big recession, there was a lot going on, then it died. It just dried up. But when we were talking earlier, you gave me some, what I thought, pretty amazing numbers about the permit numbers in 2017 and 2018. Can you go over those with us?
Yeah, as you said, in 2007, things really took a downturn, and it was reflected in permit volume in the city. Over the last 2 years, we've had the highest permit volume that we've ever had across the board. We did 940 permits in 2017 and 920 last year. And keep in mind, that's permits of all types. That's building permits, remodels, mechanical permits, roofing, all of our land use permits. Our department also handles all the permits that involve public works activities like paving an apron for a driveway or installing water or sewer lines. We also handle those permits as well.
That's a lot. So we're in month 3 of 2019. How does it look? Are the permits keeping up at that level?
It's higher than 2017.
Wow.
It can be somewhat seasonal, although one of the things that we've seen, particularly over the last 2 years, is that we haven't really had a down period. Typically in the wintertime, there was a drop in permit volume, but this year we really didn't have any drop off, and we've been really steady over the last 2 months. if it continues this way, we'll do more than the 940 that we did.
Well, your staff must be pretty stretched to handle that.
They are. We're a pretty small organization, so we do a lot with a small staff. We have a good staff, and for once, we're fully staffed. We've had some turnover, and we've hired some new folks over the last couple of years, but we've got a really good team currently, and we'll see how the year progresses.
Excellent. You're listening to KPTZ Port Townsend 91.9 on the radio dial. And if you're online, we're at kptz.org. The show is called Our Town. I'm your host, Marianne McNellis. Our Town is devoted to profiling some of the fascinating people who live and work on the Olympic Peninsula. My guest today is Lance Bailey, who is the Development Services Director for the City of Port Townsend. That means Lance and his team oversee planning for and approving all new buildings in town. It's a huge job, and anyone with eyes in their head can see that the construction business is booming all over the place. Lance, I'd really like us to talk about some of the bigger projects that are going on. Let's maybe start with that rather large development on Cook Avenue. What's going on out there?
Sure. It's a subdivision and approval. So what that is there's a number of lots that get created in that area. So the work that people have seen going on is what's required in order to clear the land so that you have space on the lots that are created to build. They're also installing stormwater system, water, sewer, and the associated road. So it's a lot of moving of dirt at this point.
And there's a lot of trees and a big slope too.
Yeah, so there's some interesting challenges to that location. There's, as you mentioned, there's a lot of large trees up there that they were required to remove, as well as some of the grading that's involved in creating the areas that are appropriate to put houses on. It's a two-phase project. I believe they're planning to build some houses down there starting this summer, and then they will work on the upper part of that, the subdivision. Altogether, it's a total of about 70 lots.
And that's pretty large. I don't know when the most recent project would have been that had 70 units in it.
And I wouldn't expect that you would see 70 houses go up there quickly.
Right.
It'll be an incremental change. But
didn't you tell me that actually that one was beginning permitted before the crash and got sort of shelved for a while?
It did, and it actually changed ownership. So the owner now had purchased it from the previous owner and has decided to move forward and develop it. We actually have seen a number of projects in the city that was the case for, that during the downturn there was an ownership change.
Yeah, a lot of people lost a lot of money. Another project that I just heard about a few days ago is the Green Pod project. Can you tell me a little bit about that one?
It's a project that's in concept phase now, and it's location-wise, it's out off of Umatilla, out near where the vineyard is located. It's adjacent to that location. It's fairly conceptual at this phase, but there's a mix of residential units as well as some community space. One of the site plans that I've seen has sort of a community center.
Well, I think people driving in and out of town see the Green Pod things and wonder about it. But it sounds like that one's not immediately ready to get going.
We're in very early conversations with the applicant.
Okay, so what's happening with what I would call the peace sign property?
Yeah, what some people have referred to as the Nomura property, but it's changed hands. It's located there at the corner of Discovery and San Juan. And there's a proposal for what we call planned unit development for a variety of uses that run from residential to commercial to office to some retail space and some community aspects that are interspersed, community gardens, and some other educational space that's being planned.
So there's a lot of stuff
there's,
there.
Yeah, there's a lot of moving parts to it. It's a large project. There's more than one parcel of land, but that site is fairly large. And so we do have a permit that's been submitted by the property owner, and the group is called the Port Townsend Preservation Alliance. They've had a number of discussions with members of the community and neighbors, and they've gone out and had conversations kind of asking people what they would like to see in that area. So it's sort of a unique approach to private development to have that much.
Yeah, to have public input like that.
I think it's got a very Port Townsend feel to it.
Does that have established groups behind it? The way you're phrasing it, it sounds like it might be something that Habitat or one of those groups are involved. Are any of those involved?
Possibly. I don't know if any of those groups are currently on board, but I know that they've been in discussion with a number of different entities that could ultimately do a portion of the development, whether it's affordable housing, workforce housing, some of the educational space. One of the ideas is, and the property owner could explain this better than I can, but having a central location that is, there's a very multi-generational aspect to it. So it's a commercial space that is, for lack of a better phrase, a daycare component. It's I know there's a better way of phrasing that, so that it's for young folks, older folks, everybody in between. That's one of the themes throughout the project.
So what about the big peace sign with the daffodils? Will that remain?
Well, I know that they intend to incorporate that into it.
They probably can't keep the scope of it.
The site plan that I've seen has the peace sign incorporated into the site plan. So I suspect that in one way or another, it will stay.
Okay. Now, I drive by that corner all the time, as a lot of people do. Right across the street where that old gas station was, a recently dug up, looks like old oil tanks. I don't know what was in there, gasoline or whatever. So does that mean something's happening on that corner too?
The old gas station that was there was demolished last year. And I know that the property is for sale. And we've had a couple of conversations with different prospective buyers. I know that it's for sale, but there's no specific project at this time being proposed.
Is that one that would require a lot of environmental remediation, or has that part already been done?
I think some of it has been done. Anytime you've got a location where there's an old gas station, there's the associated underground tanks.
Right.
And I know that they've been monitoring that. And to my knowledge, there's not a major cleanup there to do, but I think it's somewhat standard procedures to just make sure that they have what they call a test well, which they really are just measuring the gases coming up out of the ground. So I don't have any indication that it's a huge, terribly contaminated site now.
Okay. All right. Then there's one other development, if we could call it that, that has had a lot of people talking for the past couple of years, which is that little mini apartment complex that was shipped over here from Victoria.
The Cherry Street project.
Okay.
Yes.
And we drive by and we see it sitting there.
Yes.
And sitting there. So what's happening?
Well, there was an article in the Leader today. I saw the headline. I'll be honest, I haven't had a chance to read it. But as you mentioned, it was a building that was barged over here from British Columbia. It's been sitting on cribbing temporarily as the project has moved forward. I mean, there's been a lot of moving parts to the organization, which is Homeward Bound, that owns that and is a community land trust whose mission is to do affordable housing. And so the city has been working to help Homeward Bound reorganize, essentially. They had been an organization sort of dormant, had not been doing any projects. And so the city has entered into an agreement to provide funding and to help Homeward Bound with some organizational issues, which I think they have overcome. There's a new board of directors. They have people on board. In the recent conversations, they're actually looking to get to the point where they can have paid staff. Everybody there now is volunteer. Mm. So they're looking to get a paid executive director and maybe another paid position. They would be a good person to bring in an interview.
Yeah.
Because they have an interesting story to tell. But from the development side, the first step is to get that building onto a foundation.
Yeah.
They have a permit that's been submitted and issued by the city to do the foundation work. And there's a contractor that's hired. They have a project manager to oversee that. And the anticipation was that they were going to get started on that here in this week, next week. They've had a delay based on unavailability of one of the contractors. Mm-hmm. The start date now is looking like April the 15th, but I'm optimistic that they will get started.
So you think it's going to go, huh?
We'll see some changes out there. So
it's going to be bigger somehow, right?
It was built as a fourplex.
Right.
It's a two-story building. So each one of the units is two stories. The plan is to put it up on a foundation, raise it up from the height that it was originally built, which would enable four additional small studio units to be on the ground floor. So it would ultimately be a three-story building. And so they're designing the foundation in order to do that, and that'll be phase two of the project, actually to build out those four additional units.
And that project is to be affordable housing, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Most of the others are more what I guess you call market price projects.
Yeah, other than the projects, because we have ongoing projects with Habitat for Humanity.
Right.
They're a very active organization here in town, and they're pretty much always doing some
building
project or another.
And steadily.
So other than what Habitat has been doing with all the other development has been regular market rate.
Okay. I'd like to briefly talk about downtown. Everyone's been watching for quite some time that big building that used to be April Fool and Penny 2, was that the name of it?
I believe so.
Yeah, okay. So what's the status there?
The name of that building is actually the Clapp Building.
Okay.
The same folks who own the winery up on Sims Way also own that, and they have been remodeling for some time. They're getting close. They're, as I understand, they'll have a restaurant and a wine tasting component to the building. One of the things that you may notice if you're walking out there is that a large courtyard area outside, as well as what will be additional public space along the waterfront, what we refer to as the water walk. When all is said and done, one day that will hopefully extend all the way down the waterfront, all the way down to the Maritime Center. It's mostly there, and this is one connection that has been waiting to be built. I suspect that they're going to open before the summer. They look like they're on schedule to do that.
It's been a while that they've been at it.
It has been a while. That project went dormant for a little while, but they're back up and moving on a daily progress.
Okay, and there's something going on at the Belmont.
Yeah, the Belmont has been doing a substantial remodel just as of, I don't know if it was yesterday, the day before. People may notice they're doing some work on the facade. There's scaffolding over the sidewalks. It's pretty noticeable now. They've been doing a lot of work on the inside, and they're actually are looking to rebuild the deck off the back.
Cool.
They sustained,
we need more decks.
Yeah, they sustained a little bit of damage in some of the winter storms that we've had here.
Yeah.
So they're going to do some repair work back there as
okay.
well.
Okay, and briefly, because I don't think this one is very active, but you're mentioning damage. The old Surf restaurant is now gone, and there's been a lot of talk about the Hastings Building, I think that is, to be perhaps become a boutique hotel. Is that anything active, or is that just pending?
Well, they've been working. There's really two parts of that project. The existing Hastings Building, there's plans to do remodel, and then the other component of that project is to actually build a new building where the Surf was located. As a part of that project, they will demo the existing overwater deck where the Surf Building was located and build a new one. They have permits to do that. Those have been approved. And they've already done work on shoring up the foundation of the existing Hastings Building. So they're still moving forward on that.
Okay. The idea there would be to add some hotel rooms, which I think we probably need. But that sort of segues into the issue of short-term rentals in Port Townsend. If someone wanted to rent their part of their property or whatever, is there a permit process on that?
There is. And so we do require a land use permit for somebody who is interested in doing a short-term rental. Some folks refer to them as Airbnb. Airbnb is really just a business platform. So
yeah, that's a
the category
name,
the category being short-term rental. One of the requirements that the city has is that all short-term rentals have to be owner-occupied. So you can't rent out your entire house as a short-term rental. So it has to be owner-occupied, and the owner is required to be on site during the rental. And you're limited to a maximum of two bedrooms, what we refer to as a tourist home. And it's kind of a category of short-term rentals that existed for a long time before the whole Airbnb thing blew up, where people rented out rooms within their house. They may or may not provide breakfast or some other meals. It's a use that's been going on in Port Townsend for a long time. So there is a permit required, a conditional use permit through the planning department. It also includes an inspection of the property to sign off to make sure that there's adequate ingress and egress and other things.
Well, what about if in your neighborhood you notice what clearly is a short-term rental situation going on and no evidence of any permits or anything, and it's irritating you because they're taking up all the parking? What is a concerned citizen? What's your path?
Well, one of the things that we did a couple of years ago is we implemented in our regulations a requirement that folks are required to get a business license. As a part of that business license for your short-term rental, you get a number that is associated with that business. All of the advertisement that you do for that short-term rental is required to include that number. And the city keeps track of those, and we actually post them on our website. So if there was a property in your neighborhood and you were curious to know whether did they have a permit to be doing this, you could go to the city's website, and there's a list of all the short-term rentals with the address, the location, and the associated business license number. If you didn't find that, then you probably have a situation where it's not a permitted short-term rental. And in that case, you can file what we call a citizen complaint. You can also do that on the city's website, or you can do that in City Hall about the short-term rental, and then we would follow up with that as a code compliance case.
Okay. Well, believe it or not, we're almost out of time, and I really didn't get around to asking you about deer fences or potholes. Now, these are two situations that have my concern at times as we go bumping along down the street. Anyway, we all understand we have too many deer in Port Townsend.
There's a lot of deer out there, that's for sure.
Okay, listeners, we are out of time. I'm sure you want to join me in thanking Lance Bailey, the Development Services Director for Port Townsend, for being a guest. In addition to thanking Lance, I also want to thank my partner, John McPherson, the man in the glass booth, the editor and producer of Our Town. He's the one who smooths out all the hiccups and you-knows and general mumbles that slip into every interview. He makes me and my guests sound ever so intelligent and much more eloquent than we really are. I want to thank you, the listener. KPTZ 91.9 FM is a community radio station. That means all of us here at the station are volunteers. We give our time to this community station. We all believe that Jefferson County needs a free local voice. We need your support, listeners. We really need it right now. You may have heard that we're planning on moving from our present quarters in the parking lot of the Mountain View campus up to Fort Worden. We'll be renovating one of the old buildings there. We hope to transform that space into a modern radio station, even having soundproof studio. Those of you who visited us here at the current location know we are an old trailer that was once a classroom. It's old, it's cold, and it's not really adequate for what we're trying to do. So now's the time to donate, folks. Give us a call or write a check. We have a wonderful grant that's going to run out soon. It will match your donation 2-for-1. So if you give us $100, we'll actually get $300. And if you donate $1,000, that becomes $3,000. So help out. You've been listening to Our Town on KPTZ Port Townsend, 91.9 FM. I'm the host, Marianne McNellis. Thank you for listening. We're signing off now, but keep listening to KPTZ for more dynamic, eclectic community radio.
Our Town is an original KPTZ production created by Marianne McNellis and engineered by John McPherson.